thanks. Okay, do I have any sound? Michael, power. Okay, I'm on. Here we go. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Gosh, okay. Well, good morning. It's really good to hear you, see you. I hear you singing. I see you, so praise God. You know, sometimes it takes a little oomph to keep God first in our life. Does anybody find that? Some days I've just got to go, this is my decision. Lord, you are first in my life. Everybody just say that. Lord, you are first in my life. Amen. And when you show and you plant yourself in the body of Christ, that's also saying, God, you're first, because he tells us that we should be gathering together. So high five. You guys did great. You're gathering together. And I believe I have a good word for today, actually for the whole month. So let's pray. Father God, we just come again to you. I thank you, Father, that your word is rich. I thank you, Father, that your word lifts us. I thank you, Father, that your word guides us and brings us to this great inheritance that we have in Jesus. And today, I thank you for words of life being planted in our hearts, and so that we can be doers of this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I'm going to open up with a story. Long, long time ago in a far, far away place, Teaneck, New Jersey, I was about 10th grade, and my township would run bus trips up to the nearest ski resort, and it was a Saturday morning thing. I would babysit for 2 weeks so I could scrape up this money to go skiing. I was in high school. I think I was about 10th grade, and it was dirt cheap back then. I think it was like $40 for a lift ticket, lessons, and rentals. That's how old I am. That's how way back in the day, all right? So I babysit, and the first time I have a twin brother. I went with my brother, Johnny. He brought his friend, Gary, and I brought a friend of mine to go skiing. So we did. We paid for this, and we took our first lesson. And I just had a wonderful time. But it was really interesting. By the end of the day, I couldn't find my brother or his friend, Gary. It was just me and my girlfriend. I was like, where are they? Are you kidding me? Boys, ready? Two times down the bunny hill, and guess where they are? Black Diamonds. For those of you who don't ski, that means they went from the baby slope, skipped the middle slope, the intermediate, went up to the top. You know, typical, typical. So 2 weeks later, they're running the bus trip. Well, they run the bus trip every week. But 2 weeks later, I've saved up all my babysitting money, and I'm going to go skiing with Johnny and his friend Gary. My sister Mary, who's 16 months younger than me, comes to go skiing along with her friend Eve. And Mary is one grade younger than me. So I do the lesson one more time. Mary does the lesson with her friend Eve, and Johnny and Gary, they're at the top. They have just like the no bunny hill for them. So I stay on the bunny hill, just doing a great job, just like this. And the next time we go skiing, I am the only one on the bunny hill. That means the baby slopes. Everybody has taken off past me because I am in fear. And, of course, when you have siblings, they just poke you. You know, they're saying, scaredy cat, big sissy. And I took that for a while. And finally, at the last run of the day, because we had to be back on the bus to drive back, I go, okay, Mary, just go with me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go on the intermediate slope. By the way, this was the first time on a chairlift, because the baby slope, they had the rope, which I think is death-defying, to hang onto that rope that drags you up. There are more accidents hanging on that rope. If you've never seen it, there's this big rope that runs from the top to the bottom, and it's sort of like a conveyor belt, and you're supposed to hold on to that thing and not fall over. It's just terrible. So for that part, it was really good. I'm actually on a lift, and getting off the lift is kind of death-defying too. So we get off, and I am on the intermediate slope, and I am so afraid, and Mary's going, come on, you big sissy, you can do this. So I go down the slope. I didn't wipe out, which is quite amazing. And I got to the bottom of it, and I thought, man, this is the best day of my life. I love it. I can't believe that fear kept me frozen. Anybody ever have an encounter with fear that keeps you frozen? Well, we're going to talk about that today, all right? We're going to talk about fear. I don't like talking about fear, but more importantly, we're going to talk about how you conquer fear. How you conquer fear. Because I was missing it. Plus, my brothers and my sisters were just ripping me apart. So, you know, I want to know how to conquer fear. So we're going to talk about conquering fear. So let's see. So how many of you were here last week? Well, Happy New Year. Okay, Happy New Year. We started a new series called Goals, hashtag goals, all right, goals. And typically for the new year, we start these New Year resolutions. Anybody ever start some New Year's resolutions, write them down, all right? Now, the problem about New Year's resolutions is we usually start and fail. Anybody start and fail on your New Year's resolutions? Anybody still doing it? Like it's the second week of January? Sometimes it's just really tough, okay? So the problem with New Year's resolutions, you are setting goals, but the problem is you don't always get to the goal. And I like to get to the goal, but when I was doing these New Year's resolutions, I'm like, and if I'd make it to February, I quit, okay? So we're going to talk about the whole series for the whole month is about goals in our life. Some of them are personal goals. Some of them are just, you know, physical goals, natural goals, relationship goals. But we're going to talk about how we can actually get to the end of our goal. Now, I'm going to talk about today the one thing that I find that stops you from getting to your goals. So you wrote your goal, but one thing that stops you from getting to your goals is fear. All right, we're going to talk a lot about that and how to conquer that and stuff. Those of you, let me back up. Those of you that couldn't be with us last week, praise the Lord. Did you notice something different today? Yay! This is number 5. If you've never been here, we've had 5 of these in how many months? Yeah. And we kept getting lemons, and when they give you lemons to make lemon juice or lemonade, thank you. Lemon juice, okay. But, you know, this was a real test not to complain because we now have the super-duper model up here. Like, we got upgraded, right? We got upgraded, and we didn't pay any more money. So it was good not to complain, all right? But I will say thank you. Everybody turn around and wave at Adam and say thank you. Adam was the one that on plan B, Adam's up here with his laptop and trying to do all this stuff. And it was really tough last week, so the message was not recorded. Or it was sort of recorded, but not recorded. Right? We had issues. Everybody likes to say issues. You know, stuff. Okay. So you missed it. I love saying that to someone. You missed it. You weren't here. You didn't hear it. But so I'm going to go over real quick. We talked about goals because God has a rich inheritance for you. And most of the time, I have to change. I have to adjust my life so I can reach these great inheritance, all right? Sometimes I'm just like breezing right by them and I can't understand what's going on. So goals, we'll write goals. So I gave you 6 principles for goals here. And the first one is you have to name your goal. Simply means you get a piece of paper out, you get quiet and go, you know, Lord, this is going on in my life and I am writing a goal today. It's better than a New Year's resolution, okay? And the goal is where I want to end up. The goal is where I want to end up. So number one is you have to name your goal. You have to write it down. The second one is you have to break down your goal. You have to break it down. You break it into steps on how you're going to do it. You have to break it into steps because usually your goal is this big, amazing, great thing. Oh, it's so big. So I'm going to break it into steps on how I'm going to do it. The third one, this is the kicker here. Ready? You have to prioritize your goal. And we said that meant you had to put it on your calendar. How many of you have calendars? How many of you do it just on your cell phone? I still do paper ones, okay? You have to write your goal and smack it on a calendar. Otherwise, you're not going to get there. All right, you have to put it on the day. All right, so how many of you have your goals on a day and you've got it prioritized? Everybody raise your hand. Yes, Pastor D, I did everything you said. Okay. Okay, so that was the third one. The fourth one was future goals. I'm not going to go into that. Evaluate your goals. And the last one was fight your goals. And we said through the message is, those are great principles. Those are 6 principles that will help you and I write our goals and reach our goals, but we can't do it in our own strength. I have tried, and that's why February comes and I'm done, all right? So that's called the grace of God. Anybody know a little bit about the grace of God? The grace of God is God empowering you to do the things you can't do, all right? And if you've prayed and God gave you a goal, he wants to be the one to help you get your goal to the end, to the finish line. So we always go, okay, Lord, this is the goal. Hashtag, I want to know you better, and I thank you for your grace. It's going to help me, strengthen me to go hit the goal. So that's probably the key thing. That was the fast forward. Fast forward. Now, let's talk about today. Praise the Lord. So we have goals. We should have goals in our life. We have goals. You should have financial goals. Anybody have financial goals? Yeah. Anybody have physical goals for your life? Anybody have spiritual goals for your life? Anybody have goals for relationships? Okay, we have goals in our life, all right? But like I said in the beginning, is there's usually this one thing in the background, this thing slinking in the corner, and it's called fear. And fear will really hinder you from reaching your goal. Fear will hinder you from reaching your goal. So the main thing, the big idea that I want you to get, and I'm just going to say it over and over all different ways, and if you're taking notes, write this down. The big idea is fear can freeze your future. When you walk out of here, you got it. Fear can freeze my future. Okay, that's the main idea that we're just going to get across. Fear can freeze our future. Praise the Lord. But I don't want fear to freeze my future. So we have to understand that there is a thing that's fear, and it'll freeze you. But more importantly, how do I conquer it? How do I conquer it? So Pastor Sherry always says, don't tell me the problem, tell me the solution. So the problem is fear, and you're going to have goals, and it's going to freeze you. And the good part, the solution is, praise the Lord, we're going to get some understanding. Praise God. So, number one, fear. Fear. Fear probably is the number one thing in my life that has frozen me. Frozen me in my finances, frozen me in my relationships and following the things of the Lord, fear. And the big one, more so, there's two that I'm going to go over here, but the big one is fear of past failures. Has anybody had a few failures in your life? You turn around, you look, and you go, man, this is what happened in my life. This is what happened in my life. This is what I did. I really blew it. I can't believe that would happen. So anybody had some past failures in your life? Yeah, I have, all right? Now, over the years, reading my Bible, God just really opened my eyes, and I just want to give you three simple things to help you get past your past, the fear of your past failures. I'm just going to give you three things. We'll go real fast on this, but three things that will help you get past your fear of your past failures. All right, number one, write this down if you're taking notes. Number one is failures are inevitable. Failures are inevitable. In other words, they just happen sometimes. Sometimes things just happen, like that projector. It's just the craziest thing. Things just happen, all right? So failures are inevitable. Now, those of you that are real positive people, and you always like to say the right thing, the positive thing, and you know, you always like to say the word of God, like I'm only going to have a good confession. You're right now, you're going, Pastor D, that is such a negative thing to say. Failures are inevitable. Well, I don't want to be negative, but failures happen. They happen. I don't care how much homework you've done. I don't care how great a plan you have. Sometimes you have a failure. Years ago, my next door neighbor, I live in the greatest neighborhood. I'm telling you, that's why it's kind of hard for me to think about. Someday I need to get away from my 1-acre house that takes hours to weed and stuff like that because I live with these great neighbors. But over here is Charlotte, and one day she decided to paint her mailbox. They had just done re-siding of their house, and they put up these shutters, and she wanted to paint the mailbox the same color of the shutters, so she was painting in burgundy. And it was a cute little summer day, and Charlotte's out there just painting away, and you're like, oh, go Charlotte, go do mine, you know. So that'd be so nice if you had someone do mine. So she's out painting, and guess what happens an hour later? Buckets pouring down rain. buckets. And, you know, you went and drove by, and you see this puddle of burgundy on the ground, right? You know, some of the paint stayed, but it hadn't dried enough, and it was just a burgundy puddles of water, all right? Guess what? Failures are inevitable sometimes. Stuff happens. Years ago, we were living on West King Street. It was just I just had Sherry and Jesse, and Jesse was just this little guy. He just started walking, and back in the day, I actually drank instant coffee because I could afford it. All right, so I boiled the water. Yeah, that's disgusting now. Okay, praise God. But if I had to, I would too. Okay, so I boiled the water. I put the boiling water into the cup, stirred my instant coffee, and now I'm a good mama. So I pushed this cup to the back of the table. To the back of the table. Because I got kids. I'm not like that. I'm not leaving. And that little stinker, that lovely little child, excuse me, that lovely child who just climbs on a chair and grabs it and boiling water down his chest. We end up in the emergency room and I am a mess. It's bubbled. It was bad. Okay? Guys, failure is inevitable. Sometimes it just happens, right? Was I still a good mom? Absolutely. It's just sometimes stuff happens, all right? So let me give you a scripture. Open up to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. Praise the Lord. And you know, the first thing about conquering your fear is you just have to have an understanding that failures happen. They're inevitable, okay? That's just first. You just got to go, okay, it does happen. It's not a bad confession. It's just life. Everybody say life. All right, I'm reading out of Proverbs 24, verse 16. I'm reading out of the New Living today because I just had a great old time all weekend here. So Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, "The godly may trip seven times." That means they're going to have failures. Seven times. But who are they? The godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. Oh my gosh. But one disaster is enough to throw the wicked. All righty. Here's the good news, guys. This is what he's saying. You're going to fail. This guy failed seven times. Anybody have at least seven failures in your life? Liar, liar, liar. Everybody's hands should be up here. Okay. So what he's saying is, listen, you're going to fail, but the good news is God's going to help you get up again, 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 again. All right, that's good news. All right, isn't that good news? God is on your side. He's going to help you get up. All right, now, everybody know about Thomas Edison? You talk about failures, all right? Now, let me give you the good stuff about him. He was probably one of the greatest inventors of his time. He had over 2,000 patents. That's incredible. 2,000 patents, all right? He invented what we call the modern-day light bulb, right? He invented that. And he invented the phonograph, the record player. Anybody ever back in the day a record player? Oh, gosh! The 45s and the big ones, okay. So if you don't know what those are, you are just youngins, all right? He also invented the motion picture camera. That's why Hollywood's making movies, all right? Those are the things that he invented. He's just brilliant, 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 brilliant. And he had a really good friend. His name was Walter Mallory. And this is what Walter said about his dear friend, Thomas. He said, "Isn't it a shame that with all the tremendous amount of work you've done, you haven't been able to get any results?" Because Edison had failure after failure after failure. I forgot how many times he failed till he finally got the light bulb. I used to know that number, all right? But just hundreds and hundreds of times, all right? Now, this is Edison's response to his dear buddy. Ready? "Results! Are you kidding me? No. Results. I've gotten lots of results. I know several thousand things that won't work, right? And I'm failing myself to success. I'm failing myself to success." And he did. He eventually got the light bulb, okay? Aren't you glad he stuck with it? He stuck with it, okay? And listen, I want you to stick with your goals. Stick with the plans that God puts in your heart, all right? And if you fail, listen, God's going to help you get up so you can try again, try again, try again. Because Failures are inevitable. But listen, God's going to help you get up, get up, get up, get up. All right. Otherwise, if you have a failure, it can freeze you from the great hope in the future God has for you. You think I got great things lined up for you guys. Let me tell you, God's got greater things. All right. So you have to go, okay. It happens, but I have a God, my Heavenly Father, and He will help me get up again and again and again. And listen, probably everybody in this place here go, yeah, I am sitting here today because God helped me get up again, right? Amen. He did. Praise God. All right, so, but we don't want to let our fear freeze our future, all right? Here's the second one. If you're taking notes because you're all smarter than a fifth grader, second thing you write down. You ready? Failures must be forgotten. Failures, they need to be forgotten. They need to be forgotten, all right? So I was trying to think of a story, and I thought, man, I could probably tell more stories about Jack. I must have been perfect because he made all the mistakes. So I'm just going to change the names, and, you know, right there you have a failure going on, Pastor D, all right? But has this ever happened to you where you say, hell, honey, let's go do this, 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 or let's go buy this. And your lovely spouse or your handsome spouse says, I don't have a good feeling about that. I really don't feel good about that. And you say, I don't go by feelings. I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. We don't go by feelings. And you go and do blankety blank or buy such and such, okay? And then later your plan doesn't work out. Anybody have a couple of those things? Just one, okay? Shoo, okay. And then, you know, you have this lovely spouse or handsome spouse, and they forgive you right away. They're just like, okay, it's okay. You should have listened. I didn't say that. Don't you love to say it? You should have listened to me. I knew all along, but you're like, I'm getting more mature. You don't say that. You just thinking that, all right? So, but you are stuck. You're kicking your behind going, I can't believe I did that. I shouldn't have done that. I just feel terrible. I really messed up. Okay, so has anybody ever here made a mistake? Anybody ever make a bad judgment call on something that might have cost you money or whatever, all right? All right. But listen, this is the good news, and write this down. God always forgives. God always forgives. Hopefully your spouse does too, but God always forgives. God always forgives. And the thing is, you need to forget it, and then you need to go on because fear will freeze you. When you've made your mistake, if you don't forget it, you get stuck, all right? You need to forget it. So, by the way, you should fess up to your spouse. You were so right, dearie, all right? God, forgive me, I really blew it. And God's, okay, I'll get that's another part of my message, all right? But you go, okay, I was wrong, and then I'm forgiven, and now I'm going to forget it, and I'm going to go on to the good things God has for me. God only has good things. He's a good God. He's just good. He's got good things for you, right? Write this down. I like this. I stole this from a friend. This is not my original. Ready? Yesterday ended last night. Yesterday ended last night. So at 12 a.m. last night, yesterday ended and ta-da! New day. So I'm going to forget it, and I'm going to go on. So you shouldn't be beating yourself up, because yesterday ended, and it's a new day. God's got a whole lot of new days, all right? So I'm going to forget it, I'm going to move on. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck in fear, and your future is not going to come to you, all right? All right, so why should I forget it? Why should I forget it? Forget about it. Why should I forget about it? Okay, number one reason. Ready? God can't do something new in your life. Think about that. If I am stuck in 12 a.m. yesterday, you know, I'm stuck in yesterday, and he wants to do something new in my life, and I'm stuck, and he's already out here, but I'm stuck, but he's out here, and he wants to do something new. So you need to forget about it. Right? You need to forget about it because God can't bless you, all right? So if fear is freezing you, all right, you need to forget about it, forget your failures, forget, I shouldn't have done it, I should have listened to my spouse, okay? You need to forget it and you need to move on, Move on, all righty? Open up to Isaiah. Here's a good scripture. You know, I say that about every scripture, right? And I say, this is my favorite. They're all my favorite here. Okay, Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 18. 18 and 19 I'm going to read. Now, Isaiah 43 is written, this is God talking about the Israelites. This is God specifically talking to the Israelites. But listen, the principle still holds for me because it's a good thing. The good things, there's going to be good things here. So someone said, well, that's on the Old Testament. Okay, but this is a good thing. So I'm going to take it. This still works for your life. So you ready to pull this apart? Here we go. Isaiah 43, verse 18. But forget all that. Sherry, I could hear Uncle Pat. Forget about it. My brother came to live with us. He was from North Jersey, and he had a famous line. Just forget about it. Okay. So anyway, forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. This is God. Take this. This is God writing to you. He's saying, forget about that failure. This is nothing compared to what I want to do in your life, all right? So this is, here we go. Verse 19. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So what's God saying here? Listen, fear will freeze you. But if you choose to forget about it, God will take your wilderness, your junk, your mistakes. I can't believe I did that. I failed there. I said that. I shouldn't have said that. And if you will let him take that, he will make a beautiful rivers, flourishing place in your life. But you have to forget it and you have to go on. You have to forget that past and you have to go on. It really is quite simple, but you have to do it, all right? So last night, this past week, I just said something stupid to somebody. I did. Can you imagine that? And I called him up, and I said, and it took me about, it's just was bugging me, and I thought, well, that really was stupid. You said that. So I called him up and asked him, forgive me. They didn't even know I didn't remember anything. They didn't remember nothing. So, but they said, of course, I'll forgive you, Pastor Dean. But that night, man, last night, that thing was just, and I had to do my message. I had to do this, and I had to say, I'm forgetting it. That's it. I'm going to forget about it. I'm going to move on. Plus, they didn't remember it, but I'm moving on, and God has a great, great hope and a beautiful things for my life, all right? So simple, but I'll tell you what, I kind of tossed and turned. I had to say that a couple of times. Praise the Lord. All right, that's enough of me. Hallelujah. All right. So that one more thing about that scripture, God can't do and bring blessings and that, you know, he's going to cause rivers in the wilderness to happen until you forget it and let it go and move on with him. So really, God's already said stuff. You just have to walk it out. Amen. All right, here's number three. Take your notes because you're smarter than the fifth grader. Ready? Failures are forgiven. We have to understand failures are forgiven. And I want to tell you that's huge. I was raised in a particular denomination, and y'all know about it, but we had to do things. Well, I believe, because of the denomination that I was raised in, that I had to do things to have my forgiveness from the Lord. I had to do things. I had to say things in order to have my forgiveness, all right? So I kind of had some goofy thinking. Sometimes I thought, well, God's just taking his dear old time because, you know, I really did some bad things or I really said some things and I just was thinking, you know, God's just making me sweat it out. Okay, so you can have some goofy thinking about Father God, the Almighty, the Heavenly Father that are not true. They're not true. By the way, that's not true. So I'm going to give you some scriptures on why it's not true. But I had a lot of that junk in my life, all right? So open up to, matter of fact, don't know, you can just write this down because they're going to pop this on the Message Bible here. Psalm 130, verse 3. So I had a hard time forgiving. Not just you all, but me all. More so me, all right? And this scripture really just settled in my life. just settled in my life. So if you have a chance later on, look this up in the Message Bible, but we're going to read this. It's so good. Here it goes. If you, God, kept records on wrongdoings. Anybody have some wrongdoings, some mess ups, some sins? And okay. So if you, God, kept records on wrongdoings, who could stand a chance? All right. As it turns out, forgiveness is your habit. Isn't that great? Forgiveness is your habit, and that's why you are worshipped. Okay. When I got that in here and saw God had a habit of forgiving, I was good. I was good. It just took the weight off, it washed the goofy thinking out of my life. All right. So think about it. God has a habit of forgiving. Now, anybody have some habits? I have some habits. I have some good habits. Anybody have some bad habits? All right, tell you one about Jack. He would bite his fingernails in the car and spit them on the dashboard. Okay, that's a bad habit, but he had a whole lot of good habits, okay? So I have a lot of bad habits, but that one just, I was like, and of course I scream at him, but listen. Listen, God doesn't have any bad habits. He's not spitting out there, okay? Everybody say that. God doesn't have any bad habits. He doesn't have any bad habits, right? He has only a good habit, and his habit is always to forgive you. He forgives, all right? Praise God. Isn't that a good habit? That should be our hashtag goal for 2018. Hashtag, I have a good habit of forgiving. On the spot. Write that down if you can't, because I'm praying you're going to have some goals at the end of this, all right? Aren't you excited? Aren't you excited that God has a good habit to forgive? It takes the weight off of you, all right? Praise God. Now, interesting thing about this, I know that theology, right? I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, right? I know that because he died on the cross, I was made holy. I was made blameless without fault before the Father. He sees me that way. I know that. I know that I can't work for my salvation. I know that, right? I know that I'm forgiven. But man, trying to get my head to remember that takes a little bit of choice on my side, a decision on my side, a decision on your side. God forgives me. He's got a habit. And I'm going to also forgive myself. Amen. Praise God. That's a good. So hashtag, my goal is to forgive just like God forgives. Alrighty. Praise God. Right. Alrighty. So we have failures. We have to understand that failures are inevitable. We have to understand that failures are forgiven. And I want to give you the second thing here. Praise God. So we talked about fear. One fear is the fear of my past failures. I'm just looking at all my past, and that just keeps me in this fear. But I want to give you another one of fear. And this one is called fear of my future failure. We can sometimes have this fear that's going to freeze us, and it's all about future that we think we're going to fail. So simply means we're afraid to get out of the boat. All right? So I write these goals because God's been talking to me, and then I'm afraid for the future. All right? I'm afraid to get out of the boat. So let me tell you a story, and this will make more sense with you. But just write that down. Fear of future failures. You have fear of future failures. Praise God. Anybody know about Joshua? He's one of those amazing heroes in the Old Testament. Joshua, okay? Moses had been, God had raised Moses up as a leader, right? And Moses was the guy that God used to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt and bring them out of there and bring them into the promised land, okay? So Moses has done all of that. He's got these lovely children of Egypt, children of Israel, excuse me, he's got them out of Egypt, and they're in the wilderness, and Moses remembers God's promise. And the promise was, I have promised you, the children of Israel, I have promised them the promised land, all right? Now, That probably doesn't like, oh, big deal, Pastor D, why are you getting all excited at? But listen, that's the promise that God gave Abraham, and he gave Moses, and he also gave Joshua, all right? So the promise was like this. I have promised you the promised land. I have promised this land for you. I have promised that I will take you out of bondage and I will bring you into this promised land, all right? Now, the interesting thing is the Canaanites and the Hittites and all the Ites, those that inhabited the land where I promised you this place, but you got all these, I'll just call them the Ites and the Bites, and they're living in that land. But I promised you that land, all right? I promised you that land. But the thing is, I have given all those Ites and Bites decades and decades and decades to repent of their evil, repent of their sin, and they won't. Therefore, this is God. This is God saying about the Bites and the Ites and all those evil inhabitants, because they were evil and didn't repent for their sin, the earth will spit them out. And that simply means that I am going to give you this land and you are going to be the ones to drive them out, because I am going to give you this land because they didn't do what I asked them to do. They were stiff-necked and evil and wouldn't repent. All right. So this is the promise. Abraham knew it. Moses knew that promise. And Joshua knew this promise. Okay, now we're up to Joshua. That was all the backstory, so you can get on the page with me. All right. So Moses sends 12 spies to go into the land where all the Ites and the Bites are, right? And he sends 12 spies. One of them's Joshua, one of them's Caleb, and then there's 10 other guys, right? So they go into that land where all the Ites and the Bites are, and they come back and they say, oh my gosh, this place is awesome. It's flowing with milk and honey. They got grapes as big as your head. The place is producing. It's awesome. But the place has giants, and we are like grasshoppers, and they're going to step all over us. All right, so those are the 10 that come and tell this report. And then we have Joshua and Caleb, and they pipe up and they go, yeah, it's true. There's giants there, okay? And you're going, what is the matter with these guys? But God is with us, and God promised us, and we have a covenant with the Most High God. So come on in. We're going to eat them up for lunch. We can go do this. We can conquer them. Okay, now you thought the whole bunch of Israel would have been like, yay! But they didn't. They didn't side with Joshua and Caleb. Therefore, for the next 40 years, right, they wandered the wilderness. All of Israel, all those guys that God brought out of Egypt were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Do you know why? Why? Why, Pastor D, why? Well, that God said the generation that made that decision, they will all die in the wilderness. They have to die. And their kids will be the generation that I will bring into the promise that I promised, that I promised. Okay? And the reason why that happened is because fear had to be gotten rid of in order for God to do something powerful and big in their lives. Fear had to be gotten rid of. Well, that was easy. Okay. So, fear, God wanted to do something powerful, but he couldn't, all right? So if you're holding something, Kurt, hold your Bible. Okay, just hold it. Kurt is holding his Bible. This is all his fear. He's holding his Bible, and God's coming with this mountain of blessing, and he's ready to give it to him, but fear won't let go. That Kurt won't let go of fear. The Ites and the Bites, and they're bigger, and they're giants, so God couldn't give him. Because he wouldn't let go. Because fear will freeze your future. Praise God. But God always has a rescue story. I love it. He's like the guy with the white hat that comes galloping in. So let's hear the rest of the story. Okay. So, praise God. Where am I on my story? So Moses dies, and God has called Joshua to be the new leader. And actually, Joshua had a lot of Joshua in training while he was with Moses. Matter of fact, while he was with Moses, before Moses died in the 40 years in the wilderness, they had a whole lot of stuff come at them, and Joshua was in this training for leadership. He was amazing. He was courageous. He was a man of faith. And then the day comes where Moses dies, and Joshua is to be the leader. All right, Joshua's to be the leader here. And in Joshua chapter 1, you should write that down. I've been spending 2 weeks reading Joshua chapter 1. And then I decided to go backwards and read Deuteronomy. And I had a few moments where I'd started the last chapter, and I'd read the last chapter, and then I'd read the second to last chapter. I was reading backwards. I don't know why. Because there were so many things about Joshua. But anyway, I went to bed last night reading like that, and I thought, man, I had the best entertainment. Read Deuteronomy. It has got wild stories. You don't have to turn on your Netflix. It was just wonderful. So anyway, that's what I did last night. I was reading backwards, but praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua's ready to cross the Jordan River with all these new generation. Right? He's ready to cross. He's ready to conquer their first city, Jericho. And God shows up and speaks to him. God has something to say to him, all right? And I'm sitting here thinking, boy, if he needed God to speak to him, how much more do I need God to speak to me? Just so I can get out of bed and conquer all the things that God has for me. How much more do you need to get out of bed and hear something from God because of your day and all the ites and the bites that you have to conquer, all right? Okay, Pastor D, read your Bible every day, pray, 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 and you grow, grow, grow. That was just a plug. Read your Bible every day, all right? So let's read Joshua chapter 1. Praise God. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Nevin, we sang a song. God is with us. Emmanuel. Oh, I wonder where they got that. All right, listen. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. All right? Guys, knowing that is a fear stopper. That will stop fear in your life. But you have to know that God is with you. Those that know their God will do great exploits. Okay? Those that know their God won't be frozen because you will know that God is with you. Pastor D, I just love singing about that. Yeah, but do you really know that? I'm telling you what. When you know that, you won't walk, this fear won't cling to you. You will not be frozen when you know that God is with you. Everybody say, God is with me. Okay. So here's God talking to this guy, Joshua, and he says, I want you to be fearless, courageous, all right? And this is why. Because I'm with you. Because I'm with you. All right? He's with you. Now, it just kind of wrapped my brain around this because that's why I had to read Deuteronomy. And I saw these great things that Joshua and Moses did. And all through there, he would say, the word of God would say, and God was with them. And God was with them. So actually, this guy Joshua had a whole lot of experience of God with him. Great victories. Incredible things. And yet, God just comes down and he reminds them again. Wherever you go, I'm with you. Okay, that's cool. Now, we talk about that. We say it's in the Old Testament, the New Testament, God is with you. And God, originally you start seeing this in when God spoke to Abraham. He says, I will be with you wherever you go. Isn't that cool? Okay, just think where you went yesterday. Don't tell anybody. Okay, just think where you went yesterday. God was with you. Just think about the day before. God was with you. That's pretty cool, all right? So he says, God says to Abraham, I will be with you. I will go before you. That means before I get there, he was there and he took care of it. Thank God that. Come on. I will go before you. So before I ever get there, my God, your God, who's with you, took care of something for you. And you want to be afraid? Come on, people. I'm really preaching to myself. Okay, because I had a lot of fear, all right? So God says to Abraham, I will be with you. I'll go before you, all right? And he says, I'll be with you. I got your back. That means he's behind you. He's got the front. He's got the back. God's with you. Praise the Lord. Let me give you a story in the Bible about God with you. And God goes before you. God goes before you. Guys, God goes before. He knows the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He goes before. He knows all things. And I'm on team God. I'm on team God. I'm excited about that. Okay. So there's a story in the Bible where Israel had all these armies come after him, after them. Okay. And they were definitely way more powerful than them. And unless God got involved, they were going to get wiped out. Actually, there's a lot of stories, but this one's found in Joshua, all right, 24. I'm just giving you the Decashment version here, ready? So they've got Israel, and they've got a bunch of armies that are just going to smear them, wipe them off the face, okay? And God does some incredible things. And it took God years and years and years to get the plan for when he's going to take care of Israel, okay? God goes before, and he gets things ready for you, all right? So we have to know that God is with us, that God goes before us, that God goes behind us. And when you know that, you won't have fear. So let me tell you what God did. Decades and decades before, God, listen to this, he increased, you're going to crack up and say, Pastor D, what'd you drink today? Just two cups of coffee. He increased the hornet, that kind of thing, hornet population. He increased the hornet population, and he did it, listen to this, he did it so they were billions and billions and billions of these hornets, all righty, and they were all in this right area for this right time. When Israel was going to be attacked by these armies and these, because God goes before you. And he's planned a victory before you. So he's got these hornets, and there's this battle going on. They're going to just charge and eat the Israelites for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the hornets come, and they start stinging all these army guys. All right? They start stinging, and then they start going crazy. They're like, and they kill themselves. Why do we watch Netflix? I'm telling you, the Bible's just this most banana stories, all right? They kill themselves. That Israel, when they finally show up, they're like, they're all dead. God is with us. He goes before you. He goes behind you. He makes victories for you. So why would I get stuck in fear of my future? Let me tell you. It's been probably my biggest thing to get over. And some days I'm still working on it, all right? So listen, we have to have this confidence. Praise the Lord. All right, so I want to close right here. Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Ushers, if you want to get ready in the back to prepare communion, we're going to do communion together. Just go stand in the back and, you know, just look at your stuff here. Everybody else look at me. Praise the Lord. Phew. So I want you to understand more clearly than before is that you don't have fear of your past failures, and you definitely should not have fear of your future. Amen? Because everybody say, God is with me. He goes before me. He prepares victories before me. And he's got my back. Praise the Lord. Amen. So listen, when it comes to reaching goals in our life, you should have goals. If you don't, shoo, I'm glad I didn't marry you, all right? You need to have goals of greater. God goes from glory to glory, greater and greater, better and better. But you'll have to hear from him and write the goals and hear the plan and walk it out and have him do all this stuff. So you should have some goals. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Because they're going to stay there. Here we go. Father God, we just thank you. Just close your eyes for a second. Just to take a breath. I'm really... Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach this incredible truth. Hallelujah. Thank you for teaching us how to conquer what Satan would try to rob from us, our goals, our futures. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that we are not people froze with fear. I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you take us out of wilderness stuff and you bring us into this beautiful, lush, great place with you in you in Jesus' name. Praise God. And I believe that God is bringing goals, big goals, to some of you. And today, as of today, you will not fear the goal that God has placed in your heart. And yes, you've completed some of these other things, but God has placed even bigger goals in your heart. And you will not fear the future because you know that God is with you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I have one more thing to do in prayer, one more invitation. If you're, everybody just, still close your eyes, don't look around, just take a break here. I just want to ask you if you have ever had or have a personal relationship with Jesus. Do you remember a time where Jesus and this personal relationship was so real? Do you remember a time that you said, Jesus, I need you, and you're real in my life, okay? Because the Bible says you have to have that, all right? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light, all right? And anyone, any age, any person, guy, girl, anything, anyone who calls on my name, I will save and I will give you eternal life, and heaven will be your home, your final just great place, okay? But it takes you believing and asking, believing in Jesus and asking. So if there's anybody here and you'd say, I don't remember a time of doing that, but Pastor D, I just feel that. Not that we go by feelings, but I just feel in my heart that today's the day. I want you, Lord Jesus. I need you. Would you come? And I take you, and would you come be the Lord of my life, the Savior? Or maybe you're here and you'll say, Pastor D, I did that. I remember a time where Jesus was so real and personal in my life, and I walked with him and just knew him. But I've just let things and stuff happen, and I just feel like I'm so far away. I'm not sure I even remember or can hear his voice. Well, if that's you, it's real simple. You just say, God, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm here. I'm going to come back. And you know what? He's always out there with outstretched hands. And by the way, he never moved. Amen. He's always there. So if that's you, you would like to receive Jesus, or you'd like to just come on back, we want to pray with you. All right. Matter of fact, we're all going to pray this prayer. Just say it out loud, real simple. And I'm telling you what, if you pray this with your heart, pray this from your heart. Okay. A miracle happens. Okay. God comes and he wipes away your sin and he changes you from the inside out, and he becomes your father and you're part of his great big family. That's a miracle. So would you pray this with me? Everybody say, Lord God, I believe Jesus died for me. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I thank you now. My sins are forgiven. And Jesus, praise God, I believe you're my Savior. And I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, look at me a second. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you've just been away, could you tell me later on? Just come on up and say, Pastor D, I want to give you a book. I want to give you a high five. I want to hug you. I promise I won't get too crazy. All right? Just tell me later on. But now I'd like to do communion together. Ushers, you can start distributing the elements. Go ahead. So you're going to take a cracker and a juice. Just hold it in your hands. We're going to do it together. Just take your elements and hold them. Okay? There's no normally with me. Deb, I'm going to take one of these. Okay. Just when I write the plan, I tell Antonio I change the plan. Okay, so my teams love it. But the Lord spoke to me very real that we're doing communion 2018 January together as a body. I like to say as a team. Right, we're the team. We're Team Jesus. We're Team YCF. We're going to do communion together. Right. Well, they're just passing that out. I'm going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians. aren't you glad that God is with us? Amen. God is with you. Yes, God. If you've asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, He's with you. Just so incredible. He is with me. He is with me. Jesus, okay? So, by the way, before I start, does anybody still need elements? Good. Good. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I pass on to you what I have received from the Lord Himself. Woohoo! On the night He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which I have given for you. Praise God. Do this in remembrance of me." All right, so we're going to take our cracker. Praise God. And we're going to break it. Because Jesus' body was broken for you. His body was broken for you. His body was broken for you for healing. Healing. Right? So that we would be healed. So let's just take this and say, thank you, Lord, for your body. Thank you for healing. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 25 now. In the same way, He took the cup of the wine after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant between God and His people. Hey, people, you're the people, right? This is His covenant between God and His people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again. Praise the Lord. So let's just drink this cup right now. We are remembering that the blood of Jesus was shed for our sins. This represents His blood, His death, His blood, and the forgiveness of my sins, of our sins. Amen. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for His blood that was shed? Aren't you thankful that He went to the cross for you and me and all of mankind? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that He rescued you? In case you didn't know, you were a mess. And that's the wonderful part. I didn't know it was a mess. I thought normal was a mess. Jesus knew the mess I'd be in, and He would rescue me. He rescued me. He rescued you guys. He's rescued the world. But they have to receive it. And this is the part that you play. This is the part. So you've been rescued, and you know it. You know God is with you, but there's a whole world out there. There's people in your neighborhood. There's people that you work with. There's people that you bump shoulders with. They need to know that they've been rescued to a glorious salvation. Praise God. And you are on Team God. #TeamGod. So praise God. Amen. Should we we just sing a song once, or I don't know. What do we do now? All right. Praise God. What do you want to do? Just a chorus. Oh, I don't. All right. Thank you, Jesus. You rescued me. I don't know. I just made that song up. Let's stand. You don't give me a mic to sing.
I guess we're just ad-libbing all this today. Huh? What do you want to sing? Which,
I don't
care. Choose one of the four that we did. Last one?
I don't know. Come on. Yeah, I just sing so wonderfully. Just a chorus. Hallelujah. Come on.
Sorry. Hold on a second. Thank you.
Yes, my lips will sing of your